So I'm going to be talking this morning about Nicodemus. And now I know it's quite an odd one to talk about, but he had a choice to make. So we're going to look at John 3, and we're going to look at the story. Now, he was a Pharisee. He studied the word. He knew it so well. He knew it off by heart. He loved God. But the difference between him and most of the Pharisees was he recognized Jesus was sent from God. He saw him, he knew him, he saw the miracles, he thought, yeah, this has got to be the Messiah. But he still had a choice to make. Jesus was very well known at that time already. The Pharisees were dead against him. They thought he was a heretic. They thought he was a blasphemer. Their minds were completely closed to accepting that he could possibly be the Messiah that they'd been waiting for. They even dismissed the miraculous signs that they saw or heard about, and some of them actually saw the signs too. So I'm going to look at John 3. Now, the first part I'm going to read from the Amplified because it kind of explains born again a little bit better. And then I'm going to carry on from the New Living Translation. Now, there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, member of the Sanhedrin among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night. "Rabbi, teacher, we know without any doubt that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs, these wonders and miracles that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed and sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he?" Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to the spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows whenever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven, and as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, and their actions were evil." So, where do we start? It's quite heavy, isn't it? Firstly, Nicodemus came at night time because he was afraid of being seen with Jesus. But now that he'd spoken to Jesus, he was in a difficult position. Nicodemus believed in the Lord. He knew of the miracles, and he said quite clearly, no one could do them without being sent by God. But now he had a dilemma. He had a choice to make. Jesus said clearly he had to be born again. In other words, he had to accept he was a sinner. Now, that alone was a huge thing for a Pharisee to accept, because they, you know, everything we read tells us that they thought they were above people. Yeah, they got it right. They knew what they were talking about. They were the people to teach everybody else. So that alone was such a hard thing for him to do. But then he had to repent. And he's thinking, well, hang on a minute. I'm a teacher. That was such a hard thing for him to do. And then, when you repent, you get transformed. And probably the hardest thing for Nicodemus was to reject anything in his lifestyle that had been a sin and follow Jesus. Now, before I go any further, let's have a quick look at that. So many people think they're good people, don't they? How many times have you heard? I know I've heard it so many times. I'm a good person. I do this. I do that. I give some food to the food bank. I'm good. I should go to heaven. Yep, I agree. Good people should. But God says there's only one way. Yeah? Through Jesus. So, firstly, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. He's holy. We're not. It's a simple fact. When we stand in front of God, we are going to see a holy God. And I, for one, know that I am not worthy to go to heaven and be in front of God. But the blood of Jesus made me worthy, and you worthy. The word says he is the Alpha and the Omega. He was before things, and he will be after everything too. We all mess up. But the good thing is, we know that when we've messed up, that is our conscience or Holy Spirit saying, you've messed up. Repent. Come back. And most of us do. Everyone in this room probably does. Yeah, because you recognize you are a sinner. And that's okay. Because you, in that, you recognize it's okay because Jesus has saved me as long as I repent. Yeah, and we come back. But some don't. So, secondly, Adam and Eve sinned. They brought a curse on humanity. You can read about that in Genesis 3:17. I'm not going to go into that one now. But Galatians 3:13 says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. That's the curse that was brought on us by them. When he hung on a cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoings. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So I just wanted to clear that bit up. We are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. So coming back to Nicodemus. Biblically, we don't know too much about what happened to him after. But has anyone seen the episode of The Chosen that actually is about Nicodemus? Yeah, a few of you have. I actually really like it because what they do, they take all the scriptures, all of the history books, everything they know, and they make something a living story to bring it to life. Okay, and I know one person who finds it really, really, really difficult to read the Bible, but she can watch that and she gets it. She gets it. And that's what I like about The Chosen. But in The Chosen, in that episode about Nicodemus, you see Nicodemus at the end. He knows he's got to be born again. He knows he's got to turn away from his old life. But he stands at the corner when Jesus is about to leave. Jesus knows he's there. Yeah. And Nicodemus is like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? I can't leave this. I can't leave this. He had such a dilemma. And Jesus eventually goes and Nicodemus turns the other way. And Jesus said, so close, so close. It actually really breaks your heart when you see it. You see, we can't serve two masters. There's always a choice to make. So, Nicodemus, he absolutely loved his lifestyle. He was respected. It suited him. He'd grown up in this lifestyle. You know, people coming and kissing his ring or his hand or whatever they did in those days. He was used to that. He was used to knowing the scriptures. He didn't want to give anything up, but that was the choice. Stay as he was, a believer, in his current lifestyle, unwilling to surrender himself fully and be born again and become a follower of Jesus. Mark 8:34 to 37 says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? So I'm going to say that part again. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life or gives it up for my sake and the gospel's will save it. So much in that verse, isn't there? It doesn't mean physically die. It means die to our old self, our old lifestyle. We can't, as I said before, we cannot serve two masters. We can't follow the flesh and the spirit. We can't. And that's why he says, anyone who comes after me must deny himself and take up his cross. That means he knows it may not be easy. But that's the choice. It's the same choice that Nicodemus had. We can't sit on the fence and be two-minded. Revelation 3 says, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. We have a choice to make. Not just us, we've all made it, hopefully. If you haven't, you can make it today. But the world has a choice to make. In Luke 9:57, Jesus talking about the cost of being a disciple. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another said to him, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid farewell to my household. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What he's saying is, we can't look back. Once you know Jesus, you have a choice. You have a choice to make. We all do. You can't go back to your old lifestyle. If you do, you're not born again. You're just a believer. Even the devil's a believer. God gave us so much. He gave us everything. Being born again is a gift. It's an absolute gift. It's a chance to start afresh, be a new creation. It's for our benefit. God can transform us if we allow him. I know of people who've been delivered from heroin with no symptoms, no withdrawal symptoms, because they gave their life and said, Lord, I will follow you. And he broke that addiction. And he can break things off of us too. Jesus became flesh to make a way back to the Father. But we have a part to play too. There is more to just believing. Nicodemus believed, but we're not sure yet if he made that choice. If we read everything and we put it together, it looks like he didn't. If a murderer or a bank robber accepts the fact that Jesus is Savior, but doesn't repent and at least try to change their ways, they're not born again. They are just a believer too. Now, I know that's all very heavy, and I don't want us to start judging ourselves, okay? The word says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We all have free will. We can choose now to surrender to the Lord if we haven't already. And as I mentioned, we all fall short of the glory of God. And also, we shouldn't be judging others. Matthew 7:2 says, for in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you used, it will be measured to you. So we have to be careful that we don't start saying, well, you really should accept. You really should do this. You've been doing that and you've been doing this. There's somewhere in there, isn't it, that says, before you take the splinter out of your brother's, take the plank out of your own. Yeah, we have to remember that every time we start judging someone. That's not our place. Now, I like the book of James because that talks about not judging. But the chapter 5, the end of that really interests me because it's the follow-on from him talking about not judging. And it's often overlooked because people stop at the don't judge, okay? James 5, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, consider this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover over a multitude of sins. There is a huge difference between judging someone and recognizing when someone has lost their way and lovingly placing a hand to help them back and lead them back to an everlasting life. Matthew 22:39 says, love your neighbor as yourself. Most of us have been guided or prayed for by a neighbor or someone that we don't even know. It's our place now to do that for others, not to judge. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We must be born again. We must take up our cross, or so to speak. Jesus called us by name. He made a way for us to spend an eternity in heaven with the Father. What an amazing fact that somebody paid the price for every mistake, every sin that you will ever make, so that you can spend an eternity with a holy heavenly Father. He chose us way before we even knew he existed. But we all have that same choice. Matthew 5:6 said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Nicodemus was so hungry to see the Lord. He was so hungry. And his mind was open to believe that he was the Messiah. But did he choose to be born again? Well, one day we'll find out. So, what does it look like when we choose to be born again and follow the Lord? Matthew 4:18 talks about Jesus calling his first disciples. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. We can see the difference. For some, it's so easy. It's so easy to say, "Yep, I'm leaving that one behind. I'm following you, Lord." For others, it is more difficult. But oh my gosh, look at the rewards when we do, when we are born again. Peter was one of those fishermen. Yeah, he was one of those fishermen who said, "Yes, I'm coming. He left everything and he followed. And look what he did. In Matthew 14:28-31, he was the one who stepped out of the boat. He actually walked on water. He was also the one who spoke to the crowd after the Holy Spirit filled the disciples. He led 3,000 to be saved. In Acts 3:1-11, Peter prayed for the paralytic to be healed. He was. Acts 5:15-16, people brought the sick so at least his shadow would fall on them and they would be healed. In Acts 9:33-34, Peter prays for Aeneas to be healed, as he had been paralyzed for 8 years. He was. In Acts 9:36-41, Peter raises Tabitha from the dead. That's just Peter. You can read about all the other disciples and what they do and all the other miracles that they performed in Jesus' name. So you can go online and see our recent miracles. We've had them. Having an opportunity to be born again with Jesus is a privilege. What an opportunity to be called by name and have a choice and know that if we make that choice, our names are written in the book of life in heaven. God knows every hair on our head, every sin and every mistake. And look at the Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul, one of the biggest persecutors of Christians. But look how God completely transformed him when he was born again. God knows our heart, and we can be transformed. He loves us so much. No sin is too great to be forgiven, as we've just read with Saul. You know, no sin is too great. He gave his life to us. All we have to do is repent and be born again and take up our cross and follow him. For some of us, as I said, it's easy. For others, not so easy. But it's worth it. But it is so worth it. We get to walk in the authority of a child of God, the living God. We become heirs. Romans 8:17 said, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory." What that means is we take up our cross. We leave behind even the things that we're enjoying if they're sinful. That's what it's about. And we have Holy Spirit as a guarantee of an eternity with a heavenly, holy Father. Who would say no? But there are many out there who have, or who haven't made that choice quite just yet. So I don't know if this is being recorded, but if it is, and you're online, and you want to give your life, please do. This is your chance. If you've fallen away and you're in this room or online and you want to recommit your life, you can do it at any time you want. All you have to do is say, Lord, I am so sorry, but actually I choose to leave all that behind and I choose to follow you. I choose to repent. I recognize I have gone my own way. In fact, let's pray. I'm going to pray this over us. And if you want to pray this with me, or if you're online and you want to pray this, then please pray it with me. So if we can close our eyes. Father God, I recognize I have gone my own way. And I haven't fully surrendered my life to you. I want to ask your forgiveness and ask you into my life today. I want to thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for your one and only Son. I want to thank you for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price for my life, that I may have a new life and my sins are washed away. I will leave my old ways behind and follow you. Thank you. Thank you that I can be born again with you. Jesus, I surrender my life to you, either for the first time or once again today. If you have prayed that prayer, I pray the blessing and favor of God on you. I pray Holy Spirit will show himself, reveal himself to you. I pray that you will know with no doubt in your heart that God loves you, because he does. He loves you more than life itself. He gave his one and only Son, who gave his life. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. If you are online and you want to contact us, please feel free to do so at slough@riverchurch.org.uk. If you are here, I just want to pray blessing over you. We are going to sing one more worship song, and we're just going to give thanks to the God who enabled us to be born again. Amen. Amen. Amen.